The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Tyler Ivins, Will West. Also at TSL 99.1. So, who is the best quarterback in the SEC this year? A year removed where there is no Jake Fromm, Tua, no Joe Burrow, your Heisman Trophy winner. And it's just looking around the conference to say who could be the top signal caller. Right now, a lot of us looking ahead, Will, they believe Kyle Trask, even on social media this morning, that the Florida quarterback is going to be the top signal caller this year. Probably has a lot to do why you see Felipe Franks leave for Arkansas, where Emory Jones goes from here. That's going to be up for debate. But after that, really from number one, that's where the debate really begins, is where does Kellen Mond fall into this? Where do you see the likes of perhaps a Mac Jones and some of the other candidates fall into place? Also, a couple of Vol fans this morning, and rightfully so. I mean, that's just where, you know, that's where the fandom comes from. Believing that we're not giving Jarrett Guarantano enough love as a top-half quarterback of the SEC in 2020. Will, we could go through the starting lineup of each quarterback in the SEC, and I just don't know if there is any spot for Guarantano, at least in the top seven. And that's where we were trying to find it, is let's cut it in half. I just don't know if Guarantano is a top seven quarterback, at least right now going into the 2020 year.
You know, I will say, if there's one QB that you can, that I would say buy stock in, it's probably Guarantano. And a lot of that is just he finally has 2 years with the same coordinator. He's going to have a very nice offensive line in front of him. And so if you're looking for a buy-low prospect, that is Guarantano probably. But who am I going to put him ahead of at the top? I'm not going to put him ahead of Trask or Mond. I can't put him ahead of Mac Jones yet. I can't put him ahead of Newman at Georgia yet. I do think Newman, people are way overrating what Newman's going to do at Georgia this year. I think that's a poorly coached offense, and they brought people in to help the guy. They promoted the recruiter to OC. We've seen how that worked out here in the past. Right. But they, you know, so it hasn't gone well. So I do wonder about Newman being there at Georgia, how well that's going to work out. I do think that we're giving – look, if anybody deserves the benefit of the doubt, it's Mike Leach. KJ Costello, Jerry Garantano's been a better coach in his career, or better quarterback in his career than KJ Costello. And so, if you just look statistically at it. So, I do think people maybe are overrating KJ Costello just a little bit, but it's hard to put Jerry Garantano in the top half of the league right now. It just, when you look at what has been proven and what you've seen.
What are the chances that Jamie Newman is in a backup role if JT Daniels gets cleared this year? Are we giving Jamie Newman too much press right now, not knowing if he's even going to be the starter? Or does Newman get the start because he's at least been on campus longer than Daniels has been?
Yeah, I think especially with everything going on, I'll be shocked if Newman isn't starting. And he's a good enough athlete to make some plays with his legs and things like that as well. He's not a ton, but he's a thrower. He can throw from the pocket, but he's been well-coached in the past. I wonder if JT Daniels has been well-coached in the past. So that's something that I think Newman has going for him. And I do think he's the guy that will get the start this year over JT Daniels, even if he is cleared.
So the SEC and Gene Chizik put out a list about a week and a half ago. Do you have any problems with the list that the former Auburn quarterback or former Auburn coach put out there? The current Auburn quarterback, Bo Nix, not on his list, but it goes Kyle Trask, one from Florida, with Kellen Mond at A&M 2, Mac Jones at Bama 3, Jamie Newman, who you just mentioned, now in Athens with Kirby Smart at 4, and then JRP from Old Miss coming in at number 5. Too high, too low, where would you see any of those quarterbacks and where they're at right now?
That is about right. I think it's as far as the top five quarterbacks. Now, rushing is a huge part of what we're talking about when we're talking about John Rhys Plumlee. So, but I mean, he ran for 1,000 yards last year. So right. That is pretty darn good when you have a QB that rushes for 1,000 yards. So I don't have a problem with that list. I might drop Mac Jones 2-5 and bump up Newman and Rhys Plumlee. But I'm glad he didn't. Like I think that Newman's going to be good. I don't know that he's going to be top 15 pick and Heisman finalist good like a lot of people are projecting. But I think Newman's going to be fine at least. I think Jacob Eason's a really good quarterback, was a really good quarterback, and Georgia didn't do jack and squat with him except have him check down all day, and I can't help but think they're going to do the same thing with him. And this is a guy that averaged almost 8 yards per attempt last year. So I just don't think he's going to get used incredibly well in that offense.
656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Is there a number that you would tie to Garantano right now? I mean, look, sometimes rankings, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the number. But in this system that we live in today of I'm better than this person, this is better than that person, is there a number that you would tie right now together with Jared Garantano? He is the blank quarterback.
Eight or nine, somewhere in that neighborhood. Let's say it's a combination of him or Bo Nix. I think somewhere in that neighborhood. Maybe Bo Nix is probably slightly ahead of him. So we'll see. I just think Garantano ahead of the new guys. But Garantano is going to be at the back end of the guys that are returning starters. But again, if you're looking for a buy low prospect, I think he can be that guy because I think he could take a very big step.
All right, let's head to the Wheel of Content. Start, bench, cut still to get to. Final 50-plus minutes of the starting lineup. It's next here on 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The Lady Vols will play West Virginia during the SEC Big 12 Women's Basketball Challenge this season. The date and time of the matchup has not been set. Lady Vols are 6-0 against the Mountaineers, with the most recent win coming in 07. NASCAR Cup Series racing in Charlotte had Chase Elliott rebounding for the checkered flag last night. Danny Hamlin took the silver, Ron Blaney the bronze, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and Kurt Busch rounded out the top five. And former USC quarterback JT Daniels announced his commitment to Georgia on Thursday. Daniels joins way with Wake Forest graduate transfer Jamie Newman as newcomers to Athens this offseason. It's 8:12. Going to check out the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
He's been known to give a best man speech even when he wasn't invited to the wedding. Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
All right, 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. The Wheel of Content now in studio. Eric Kane, if you would please. Now, it's my understanding that Chef Scott Whitaker just dropped you off some food. So please do me some favor. I need you to clean your fingers off from where you've been eating before. I don't want to see any kind of stains of any kind of sauce or any type of just old food stuck on the wheel when we come back to the studio. So please use a wet nap, use a napkin, clean your hands off, grab the wheel, and give it a whirl this morning here. Friday TSL, we had to move back the Wheel of Content due to Lee Sterling joining the program. If you missed Lee as the parents, you can check that out online, the podcast, available at 991thesportsanimal.com. What do you have for us, Kaner?
Sorry, I was hash brown pizza, biscuits and gravy, wings and waffles. I was stuffing my
there
face.
Will you go. Stop? Stop. Don't. Boys, I don't want to hear it.
I was stop number one, so.
I don't want to hear it.
All right.
What do you got for us?
The Wheel of Content this morning, best uniforms in the SEC, best college football uniforms in the SEC, and where does Tennessee rank among them?
Tennessee, in my opinion, has the third best uniforms in the SEC, only behind the navy blue schools, which in my opinion is Auburn and Ole Miss, I believe, have better uniforms than Tennessee right now. I know some people might throw their hands up about Ole Miss. I think that the red pops off with the navy just as much as the burnt orange does in Auburn. But I will give Tennessee this, the uniqueness of the color of orange. Usually whenever you think about orange, Tennessee is likely going to be the first school that comes to mind. Not a Texas, not an Oklahoma State, but likely a Tennessee. So I have Tennessee with the third best uniforms in the SEC.
Yeah, I have Tennessee with the third best uniforms in the SEC. It really is a caveat because when Vanderbilt doesn't go with the all black, I will take Tennessee's uniforms with them. If Tennessee used the orange pants more, the orange pants with the white jersey, white helmet is a really good look. The all white uniform look for Tennessee is not great. Auburn, I agree with Tyler. I think Auburn has the best uniforms in the SEC. A lot of that's because you get the extra points because most all white uniforms don't look great. But I've got Auburn at number one. If when Vandy goes black with gold, that is a really solid look. So I'll probably have them two, and then I have Tennessee three just ahead of LSU by a hair.
Yeah, I'm kind of sitting there where you guys are as well. I have the Volunteers coming in at number three. As Tyler pointed out, the uniqueness of the color orange. It's called Tennessee Orange pretty much for a reason. It's iconic. It sticks out. It's like nothing else. So the Volunteers would come in three, just ahead of Ole Miss. I do like that color scheme, like you, Tyler. That red pops off from the Navy. But my top two were Auburn. I think it's hands down Auburn's uniforms, the Navy with the orange intertwined in there and the numbering. And the all whites look fantastic. And then number two for me would be LSU. Just the uniqueness of the white and the purple and the yellow. We're in white at home. Like Tennessee, I think that's kind of iconic. So my top four would be Auburn, LSU, Tennessee, and then Ole Miss.
One thing about LSU is nobody does an alternate uniform better than LSU, I don't think, in the SEC. Like, they do alternate uniforms so unbelievably well. The Jacob Hester years where they had the all-white, that was a great look.
Jacob Hester, what a name.
Yeah, that was a really nice look that they had with the all-white uniforms that they had that were kind of throwback style. So those are really good. If I asked you who has the best uniforms in college football, period, who are you taking?
Anchors away. I'm gonna say it's Navy. It's Navy's just to me.
Five again, words around here, Ivan says. They're five words.
Look, you're an Army guy. I get it, dude. When you talk about just uniforms, it's got to be Navy. I mean, they can incorporate white, gold, and Navy better than any program in the country. Like, so, just to show you who I could compare it to. People would say, if Navy's the best uniform, Tyler, who's got the second best uniforms in college football? See, I believe that sometimes plain is good. Just keep it simple. Penn State has the second best uniforms in college football. So I would start with Navy, and then I would give a close silver medal to Penn State.
Kaner, who do you have in the nation?
Sorry, I was trying to dig through my brackets because we discussed this a couple months ago. The nation, like Tyler, I love the Navy's, especially like Navy's helmets. Sorry, Will. I also like UCLA. I like USC. I do like Florida State, but not as much as the three I mentioned before. I'd probably say USC, Kaner, UCLA, and then and Navy as well.
I'm going to go with a quick audible because I think I said Auburn at the time still is the best in the nation, but I am going to go with Oregon. There have been a couple of Oregon uniforms that didn't look good, but if you think about all of those uniforms they have and all the different combinations that they have thrown out, and maybe one or two isn't absolute fire. Like, nobody said a better – now, no one's been as intentional as Oregon has, and nobody has literally Phil Knight from Nike being the one that creates – that helps create these uniforms for them. So they have an advantage, of course, coming into that. But Oregon's uniforms are just magnificent, and it helped put that school on the map, all the crazy things that they were doing with the uniforms. And that's why you got a generation of kids right now that are Oregon fans, even though they're not too incredibly good right now.
I'm just glad nobody on this panel said Notre Dame or Michigan.
Or Alabama. That one's always there.
Michigan does nothing for me. Well, you know, what about you guys? I know those uniforms do nothing for me. I don't like the helmets. I don't know. I just don't like them.
To me, I would have Bama near the bottom in the SEC. Literally, the only uniforms worse in the SEC than Alabama are Arkansas's.
See, I would have Bama dead last, so I'm in the same conversation with you. A lot of people like the fact that it's classic. I would always point out, like, there's a difference between classic and old. And with Bama, the numbers on the side of the helmet, the red, it's, you know what I mean, with the white, that's just not doing a ton for them. There's nothing going on. So there's a difference between, like, clean and minimalist. I think Penn State is clean and minimalist. I think Alabama's is just plain. And so I do think there's a differentiation between those two things.
656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. No hate for Mississippi State. I don't know if Ryan actually was trying to rhyme there, but he just did. Mississippi State, I don't have a problem with them, Ryan, especially when
he's
go all blacks.
And he didn't know it.
Look what you're doing there. See, when Mississippi State goes all blacks, there's a couple of nights. They'll do like a night game with the Cowbells, and they'll come out in the all blacks. I don't have a problem with that. The all blacks look pretty sharp, but like their normal maroon, I think white does better with the maroon than it does just kind of the burnt red that a lot of those people, let some of those other schools have. I guess that's more. What color would you call Mississippi State? That is a maroon, right?
Yeah, burgundy or maroon, something like that.
Then what would you call Alabama?
Red.
Okay. You'd kill him.
Crimson, okay. I guess, is what they call it, Crimson.
Yeah, okay. I know it's in the name, but I didn't know if we had like a Crayola color chart that we went off of, or we were going to a big box store with a swatch or something, so we could sit there and take a peek at some of the colors, because I don't know what it is. Especially like when people ask me all the time, what color is Tennessee? You know, I know Brian says it all the time on his program. Apparently he knows the actual paint color down to a T. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. We got to get the start pitch cut. We have a lot more we have to get into as well at 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. It's happening here on the starting lineup at 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
99 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Another segment of the starting lineup for a Friday. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins and Will West, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Going to dive into start pitch cut. A lot more to get into before the Eric Haines Show with Brian Rice at the top of the hour.
How do you rank them? It's time for Mary... Whoops. The FCC says we can't do it that way. Let's play Start, Bench, or Cut on the starting lineup. Powered by Heritage Realty. Locally owned and operated with over 50 years of experience in the Knoxville market, where today's technology meets traditional customer service. Heritage Realty.
All right, Tyler. Steal Their Talent Birthday Edition. Ball like Carmelo Anthony, who's 37 years old today. Right like Daniel Tosh, who's 46 today. Or become President of the United States like JFK, who would have been 105 today.
Wow. Look, I'm a guy who'll take a lot on his shoulders. I like to think that I have a pretty strong work ethic and I'm up for a challenge. But being President of the United States might be pretty darn tough. But if I'm mellow, I can win a national championship in college, but then always be shut out in the pros. And then you got Daniel Tosh, who is super funny. But all right, I'm going to start mellow. I'm going to bench JFK. I'm going to cut Daniel Tosh.
Okay, I would probably, I mean, President of the United States is, you'd be the most powerful man in the world or woman in the world, and so
yeah,
I get that.
I don't need power.
But like I don't want to get into all that. That's why we're in sports, so... I'll probably start ball like Carmelo Anthony simply because, I mean, one of the greatest players, you know, in college and goes on to have a great NBA career. So I'll probably start that. I'll bench right like Daniel Tosh, and I will cut to become POTUS like JFK.
You're cutting being president of the United States.
Yeah, I'll start being the president. Here's why. Look, you got to be insane to be the president to begin with. I've been pretty open about my skeletons in my closet, so I'm not feeling bad about that. But... you get like $1 million per speaking engagement once you become president. That ain't bad. So I'll start POTUS, I'll bench Mello, and I'll cut Daniel Tosh.
It's not bad at all, $1 million per speaking engagement. All right, it's also, again, as we just mentioned, Carmelo Anthony turning 36 years old today. Best Nick of all time, Mello, Patrick Ewing, or Willis Reed?
I'm starting Patrick Ewing and cutting Willis Reed. Excuse me. Starting Ewing, benching Reed, cutting Mello.
That is the correct answer.
And you didn't even mention the greatest Nick of all time on that list.
Is that Clyde? VFL. Is that who it is?
No, VFL.
Alan Houston?
Bernard Kink.
Oh, okay. The injuries, you don't consider the injuries there? And Ewing was good, too. Like, because he played in the same era as Elijah Wan and Jordan, I think that he doesn't get enough credit. Ewing was spectacular.
If Ewing wasn't nursing knee injuries already and Achilles injuries already in that 94 series, they would have beat the Rockets in game. I take that back. Hakeem was just 1,000 times better than Patrick Ewing in that series. Maybe not 1,000 times better, but he was way better than Ewing in that series. I think I'm getting a little ahead of myself because I'm getting so angry about the Knicks and their inabilities to win championships. But that 99 series, when he was going up against Tim Duncan And David Robinson, he was his career. He was shot. He was done. So Ewing was really good. Man, Will, now you got me thinking about John Starks going 1-for-17 in Game 7 against the Rockets in 94. Ewing was good, but just a dang shame he never got a championship.
All right, today is rocker Noel Gallagher's 53rd birthday.
Oh,
best
wow.
song by Oasis. Is it Wonderwall, Don't Look Back in Anger, or Champagne Supernova?
Okay, here's the thing. I know what the answer is, and I think I'm going to get torched for this. All right? I'm going to get torched for this. You start Champagne Supernova. You bench Wonderwall. Oh, man, I don't even know if I'm going to bench Wonderwall. I'm thinking about cutting Wonderwall, actually, and I know I'm going to get destroyed. I can't do it, man. This is probably one of the best start bench cuts in a long time. I'm going to start Champagne Supernova. I'm going to bench Wonderwall. I'm going to cut Don't Look Back in Anger.
I'm going to start Don't Look Back in Anger. I will bench Wonderwall. I will cut Champagne Supernova.
Every 21-year-old girl right now listening to our show is angry at us, and they just threw their empty cans of White Claw at the radio.
Twenty-one-year-old girls were listening to Oasis 21 years ago as well. So I had no idea.
No, like, man, I can't. It's maybe it's a conversation to have off the air, but man, if I hear Wonderwall again, because if I go to a watering hole and I see a girl who just got her brand new fresh ID and she's like, I'm going to order a beer and then I'm going to take the change from this beer and go pump it into the jukebox and play Wonderwall, I might have to break off a leg of a bar stool and jam it in my ear.
All right, DeAndre Hopkins says he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. Who is the best wide receiver in the NFL? Is it Hopkins, Mike Thomas, or Julio Jones?
See, this is another one that's going to get me in trouble. I'm starting Mike Thomas. I'm going to bench DeAndre Hopkins. I'm going to cut Julio Jones. I can't believe I just cut Julio Jones.
That's the order I go.
I will start Thomas. Yeah, bench Hopkins, cut Julio Jones.
Okay,
that's terrible.
I'm not on an island.
Yeah. No, you're not. You're not. I think that is kind of right now the correct pecking order. Although, if Julio ended up having the best season for a wide receiver this year, it would not surprise me whatsoever.
Who would I want on my team? Who would I want on my team? Start Julio, bench DeAndre Hopkins, cut Michael Thomas.
Oh, see, I would cut DeAndre Hopkins.
Really?
I don't. Well, like, here's the thing. Bill O'Brien, the way he handled it wasn't okay. I don't need your woman in the locker room and stuff like that when other players aren't doing that. And that would be problematic for me. Now, he does not need to invoke Aaron Hernandez because you have your woman in the locker room and your kids running around the locker room at a time when people aren't supposed to be in the locker room. But I would rather – Mike Thomas is just business. Julio Jones is just business. Hopkins – there's not a problem, but there's a little more than business with Hopkins. And that's why if I am splitting hairs among best three, I would take Hopkins third.
You don't have a problem with Mike Thomas being a little thin skin?
Well, I think it's one of those. He doesn't seem to have a problem inside the locker room. It's just on Instagram. And it's just against other wide receivers.
Exactly. Exactly.
And how about this, too? I mean, he held out, got paid, and then produced.
He balled out.
You don't
yes.
see that too often these days, so respect there. Couple more. Worst thing to do in the shower, disclaimer, I didn't write this one because it doesn't really make sense to me. Tyler, you have to show your homework here. First one, do your laundry. Again, worst things to do in the shower, do your laundry. Go to the bathroom, brush your teeth.
Wait, have you ever seen somebody do their laundry in the shower? Like, I'm as country as you can make them, but we never did our laundry in the shower.
Yeah,
I had a roommate right out of college who used to do his laundry in the shower. He would take the soap from the shower he just used on his body and then use it to wash his clothes.
No, I'm good.
I swear to God, he did.
I've got family that's done it in the creek behind the house before, but I've never seen him do it in the shower. So.
He currently works for a company in Morristown right now. We haven't spoken to each other in like 9 years, but guess what?
But you get a text message today.
I bet I do too.
Well, Morristown's in our listening audience, so he's probably listening.
He always
right now.
Paid his rent on time, though. He always paid his rent on time. Jeez. And if he wants to put a bar of soap in a tube sock and. I mean, whatevs, dude. I don't care. You pay your rent on time. You don't bother me. You're starting. Okay, again, Things you shouldn't do in the shower. You're starting, do your laundry. You're benching, brush your teeth. And you're cutting, go to the bathroom.
We don't need to go down this rabbit hole again.
No. Let's just be honest with ourselves. You shouldn't do, you're starting the laundry, you're benching the brush teeth. You got it right. Everybody pees in the shower. If you don't pee in the shower, you've got athlete's foot. That's the only thing I can tell you. So you go ahead and tell me, if you want to say I don't pee in the shower, okay, then you've got athlete's foot, and that's why your feet stink.
All right. Tanner, thank you. You can move on.
All right.
Thank you for letting me explain myself.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Because I'm not going to lie. I saw that. I'm like, what? You know, but all right. TSL.
Vols fan on Twitter says, I live in Morristown. What's his name? I hope I don't work with this guy.
I hope I don't work with this guy. All right, guys. The crew, TSL crew, we're all hanging out tonight for the first time in months. What are you likely to order at the restaurant we'll be going to? Is it a beer, food, or other? Start bench cut.
I will start the food because I'm just going to be honest, I'm going to order some wings today because it's Friday and it's a push day, so we're going to get a little bench press in there and we'll get a little bit of wings in there. You start the beer, or you start the food, you bench the beer, you cut the other.
I'm starting the other because if we've all been to the Chicken Coop on Rocky Hill, you know what Ivan's is drinking. Yeah, come on. Come on, 11 a.m.
I have no idea. Yeah. Are you drinking Claws? Are you drinking the seltzer?
No, I'm drinking a Vol Bomb. First thing I'm getting my hands on. I might flip the table, too. I'm going to start that. I'm going to bench the food. I'm going to cut the beer. I'm not a beer drinker much anymore. If I have my choice, I'm not going to go with the beer. But if I, I will drink beer, but I'm going to make sure there's not something else behind the counter first. And yeah, you're darn right. I'm getting wings, and they better have stocked up because there's a good chance I might buy them out of every wing they have in that restaurant. I'm just gonna make it plain and simple.
Your boy's gonna get a couple beers and then like one or two, not too many. Got to work tomorrow, and then he's gonna order some tots. So that's the route I'm going.
Some tots, okay.
Some tots, yeah.
Tots, you know what? If there are tots on the menu, I'm usually getting tots.
Hey, they are good too.
So right down the way from that bar you're mentioning, there's a place called Perro's on the hill. And they have Tetris tots, and they're delicious.
Yum.
Tetris tots, and they're magnificent.
Tetris tots. Now you've got me intrigued.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be good to hold over. I'm going to eat what Scott just brought by, which is fantastic food. Can't thank him enough. And then I'll be good until whenever we meet up later.
Yeah, what's your setup?
That's why I missed so I've got the hookup right now, and it's smoked bologna homemade biscuit with just gorgeous sausage gravy on top of it, wings and waffles, and the wings have been marinated in a chocolate stout to loosen the fibers, and then on top of that, we have a great marinade and a great finish that's on top of it, and then a hash brown pizza with blue cheese and
jalapenos.
That's crumbled and jalapenos on it. Could not be better.
I just got a text message. Santa Scott is on his way to your chimney.
There you go.
Chef Scott Whitaker is going to be making his way to West Knoxville. I think we're going to find out that Will and I are neighbors somehow, shape, or form, because we're both in West Knoxville together.
Yeah, but you know what? We're close. We're probably both closer to Caner because of the way West Knoxville rolls. We're both probably closer to Caner on the south side than we are to each other on the west side.
If we're giving out shout-outs to all sides of the country or to the city, why don't we give a shout-out to Heritage Realty for bringing you Start Bitch Cut today?
HeritageRealtyKnox.com, a boutique firm. They focus on you, the client, over the needs of their own sales pipeline. At Heritage Realty, it's about making sure that you, your family, you find the right home in the right neighborhood in the right school district exactly for you. And when you sell your home, you maximize your value on it, and they're able to get the closing done as quickly as possible. They're located in West Knoxville, but serving the entire 9-county area, Heritage Realty.
All right, boys, let's go ahead and get things wrapped up for the weekend. Going to make way for the Eric Kane Show with Brian Rice coming up as well. Your home for Tennessee football. It's right here on 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Last night's NASCAR Series racing in Charlotte had Chase Elliott rebounding after a rough week to take home the checkered flag in a rain-delayed race. Denny Hamlin took the silver, Ron Blaney the bronze, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Kurt Busch rounded out the top five. Former USC quarterback JT Daniels announced his commitment to Georgia on Thursday. Daniels has 3 years of eligibility remaining and will need a waiver to play immediately this season. He joins former Wake Forest signal caller Jamie Newman as newcomers in Athens, as the latter joined forces as a graduate transfer this offseason. NFL owners approved a six-year extension with EA Sports to continue the video game of Madden through the year 2026. The current contract was set to expire in 2021 season, as the relationship between EA Sports and the NFL has existed for 30 years. And the Panthers have signed cornerback Eli Apple to a one-year deal. 8:43, we're going to check out the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good Friday morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Six five six 9900. Also at 1-866-656-9900. Tyler Ivins and Will West. Man, we got a couple few minutes to get to here before we step aside for the Eric Ains Show with Brian Rice. Taking a peek here at the Twitter. Donald this morning reaching out saying that he believes Jerry Garantano should be a little bit higher than the 8-9 range that Will has him at. When you talk about the quarterbacks in the SEC, we all agree that it's not going to be the level of Tua, Fromm, or Burrow. But at the same time, I don't know if Garantano moves up that much, even with some of the incumbents that are coming into the conference this year. We're all still agreeing on that, right? You'd still take Jamie Newman over Garantano. You'd probably still take KJ Costello now in Starkville over Garantano.
I am going to say they're in a similar category to me. I know that, like, 24/7 has KJ Costello 1. I can't put
what?
Them there. Yeah, oh, they do. I can't put them close to there. And a lot of that might just be Leach. My problem is it's an inaccurate quarterback with Leach. And I'm afraid Leach is going to break him, because he does not deal with inaccurate. If you're accurate, you know, if you can throw deep, he'll work with that. If you can throw underneath, he'll work with that. If, you know, you have a questionable arm, he'll work with that. If you're not accurate, though, he might kill a quarterback. So, and we've seen him bench guys who were incumbent starters because they weren't accurate. So that's what I wonder about with KJ Costello. The guys that I'm taught about is the cat at Ole Miss. He rushed JPR. He rushed for 1,000 yards last year. Garantano threw for 2,100 yards last year. And so I just can't equate the two of those together, and he's going to have Lane Kiffin working with him this year. Now, Jim Chaney's working with Garantano, and I don't think you can do I don't think you can do better than Jim Chaney as an offensive coordinator, period. But when I've seen somebody do it on the field, I've got to put him behind a guy that I've not seen get it done necessarily on the field. And that's where I'm at with Garantano. So he's somewhere middle of the pack, probably just past, not quite the upper top half of the SEC. But I would probably rank him right now behind KJ Costello at like 8.
All right. I think we're all in agreement roughly about where Garantano should be. And I think we're all in agreement on who the best returning quarterback. Kane, are you still taking Kyle Trask here?
Yeah, I'm taking Kyle Trask as the number one quarterback in the SEC.
I have a feeling we'd probably take Kellen Mond number 2, right? Just so we're on the same. I'm just trying to figure out where we differ here.
Yeah, Kellen Mond's just a disappointment, you know, in terms of what he should have been. But, yeah, you'd probably have to take Kellen Mond number 2.
The growth isn't there yet for Kellen Mond, right?
Yeah.
And if it's not there his senior year, when's it ever going to be there? You're right.
Exactly.
You know, the one thing with KJ Costello, what's weird, his second year with Stanford, he throws for 3,500 yards and completes 65% of his passes. The other 2 years he plays at Stanford, he's not very good. So it doesn't make, like, so that's the thing. What am I getting out of KJ Costello? Because if he's good, I'm going to have him in the top 3 or 4. If he's KJ Costello of the other 2 years, I'm not going to have him sniffing that, and I've got him probably at 7. How much of a step does Bo Nix take as a thrower? I think he was a solid game manager last year, but he's got to throw the football from the pocket to be able to make that, because he was a liability. Straight up, he was a liability on the field for that team last year. And so, and he's lost a lot of weapons around him, and you don't have that defensive front that's going to dominate at Auburn this year that's going to allow him to go be a game manager. He's got to go win games with his arm, and I haven't seen Bo Nix win a single game against even a mediocre opponent with using his arm. Mac Jones was a massive drop-off from Tua. Let's be very real. I know what the bowl game was. Mac Jones was such an enormous drop-off from Tua that I'm not going to put him at the top. So to me, it's a two-horse race. It's Trask, it's Mond, and I'm putting Felipe Franks behind them. I don't have Terry Wilson in the conversation. I'm then going to pick between Nix or Newman, and then I'm probably going to have like a tier behind that's on a tier by himself, maybe with KJ Costello, and because it's kind of unknown. And then I'm going to have this tier of Nix and Garantano and those guys that I'm probably going to put at that next level.
All right, gentlemen, I'm being told that Scott Whitaker is now outside my window. And he's going to bring me delicious food. I guess got to say to you, boys, I don't know if it – you guys have been eating the food for a minute. Is it as good as it looks? Because I've been getting photos from Kaner all morning long, and it looks absolutely just delicious.
What did I just tell you off the air about the chicken, Kaner?
Said it might be the best chicken you've ever had in your life.
Yeah, it's that good. It really is that
good. Wait a second. Stop. Let that marinate. Let it marinate.
It's that good.
Best in your life, Will West.
It might be the best I've ever had. It's that good.
Man, Chef Scott Whitaker, not only can he provide what he's done for us this morning here on TSL, but might I suggest for those of you out there who are saying to yourself, I would like to have Scott Whitaker maybe meal prep for me and do things for me, you can reach out to Scott this morning as well, 865-256-6988. So if you're wanting some delicious food, perhaps maybe during this quarantine period, you're saying to yourself, I got to get me some of that Chef Scott Whitaker food. He can actually meal prep for you, and he can get your family provided with the delicious meals that you need. He even took care of my Thanksgiving dinner a couple of months back. So 256-6986. Gentlemen, I'm on furlough, and I know that makes you and a lot of our listeners very, very happy next week. All right,
going back to Idaho for the week.
Going to Idaho, or, boys, we talked about it yesterday. I might be taking a one-way ticket to Vegas and never coming back.
There you go.
Never coming back. I don't have a lot of money to my name.
Why don't you catch up on Letterkenny while you're off, for gosh sakes? Figure it out. Pitter-patter.
Okay.
Figure it out.
That is a Texas size 10-4 there, big shoots.
There you go.
Boys, we're going to the chicken coop later. I want to see you there. I want to see a smile on your face. I want there to be high fives. I want there to be fist pounds. I want it all to happen. You guys have fun next week. I'm going to go make bad decisions on the other side. 99.1, you're listening to the Starting Lineup. We will chat with you. Well, I will sometime soon. Those two fools on the other side of their microphones, they'll do it first thing Monday morning. It's now time for the Eric Gaines Show with Brian Rice right here on your home for Tennessee football. It's happening on 99.1. You're listening to The Sports Animal.